Okay, so we're on Daf Tesel Ben Aleph.
You warm enough in here?
I think it's okay. And yesterday we had the suffix of Rabbi Elazar, and he was talking about a case where he told the Lokeach to make a Kinyan Mashiach on the Kalim, to acquire ownership on the Kalim, without actually doing a direct Mashiach on the Kalim, but rather doing a Mashiach on the Behemah. And the Kalim are located on top of the animal. Would the Mashiach on the animal, on the Behemah, be meaningful and validate the Kinyan on the Kalim? That was the suffix of Rabbi Elazar. And the Gemara says that the language of the Makne was Kni Kalim Sholeh, make a Kinyan on the Kalim on top of Behemah. Yesterday we had a discussion, if you recall, about whether it would make any difference if the Makna was there and he was present at the time of the Kinyan, as opposed to a case where he instructed the Lokeach, the Mocher instructed the Lokeach to implement the Kinyan, but he, the Mocher, was not present at that time. Yesterday we also discussed a couple of possibilities as to what would happen, not in the case of a behemah, but in the case of a kupa. And Tosa says that there's a fundamental difference between the two cases, because in the case of behemah, the halicha nases al yideya behemah atzma, that it's hard to say that through the behemah he's making a mashiach on the kelim, because the animal itself is animated. It has a certain element of, shall we call it, bechira chafshis, but it's actively carrying the kelim. We also mentioned the Rashba, who says that it really makes a difference as to whether or not the Mocher instructed the Lokeach Limshoch es HaKelim, or whether he said Limshoch es HaMehemah. If he instructed the Lokeach Limshoch es HaKelim, and the Lokeach decided to do a Mashiach on the Kelim through the animal, that was his decision, then that Mashicha would certainly be valid on the Kalim. That wasn't included in the purview of the Suffolk and Rabbi Elazar. The Suffolk and Rabbi Elazar was only in a case where the Mocher instructed Lokeach Limshoch as a Behemah, and to be coded the Kalim there on top of the Behemah. He was very makpid, the Mocher, that there should be a Mashicha on the Behemah. And that really throws a little bit of a monkey wrench, says Rabbi Elazar, into this scenario. Because, what do you mean he wants a Mashiach on the Behemah? He's not even being mocked in the Behemah. So there's, in a sense, a self-contradictory fluke here in this very Kinyan. Then we had the statement of Rava. And Rava gets into the whole issue of, can the Behemah serve as a Kinyan Chatzer? Meaning, what would happen in a case where the Mocher wants to transfer ownership not only on the Kalim, but also on the Behemah itself? Would the Behemah serve as a Chatzer through which the Lokeach would be coded the Kalim there inside his Chatzer? And the Gemara initially rejects that possibility because the Behemah is a Chatzer Maleches, and a Chatzer Maleches is absolutely disqualified. And the reason for that is because the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says, Himatzei Matzei Biyado. And Himatzei Matzei, according to the Gemara in Gittin, is the source from which we derive Shalogak Yado Kona Shalodom Elagaf Chatzero Kona. So it means that the Torah went out of its way to add the word Yado to Himatzei Matzei, to tell us that whenever he would have access to his yad, even though right now it's not in his yad, but he's guaranteed access into his yad, then he would be kona, and that's based on himotzei timotzei, which means that it's in his chotzer, but that only applies when it's a chotzer mishtarveres, and then you could say it's like himotzei timotzei biyado, because he has complete absolutely controlled access to that which is inside his chatzer, and that only applies if it's a chatzer mishtameres. However, there's another way of understanding our Gemara about why you require a chatzer mishtameres, not a chatzer hamehaleches. And that's based on the Gemara later on in Daf Yud that offers two approaches to the concept of a chatzer. One approach is that a chatzer should be identified with shlichus, and the other is that chatzer is an extension of his yad. And Bli Neder will get to that sugya later on, try to figure out the nafkaminas, whether it's chatzer mishum yad or chatzer mishum shliach. But either way, whether it's mishum yad or mishum shliach, it's got to be mishtamer. It's got to be some chatzer that's going to guarantee his access, either because the chatzer is his yad or the chatzer is his shliach. But again, if you're going to tell me that as a shliach, he can, so to speak, operate on his own, and normally a shliach is not operating on his own, he's operating on behalf of the shaleach, he's really protecting the object. So let's say, for example, I would send the shliach to acquire ownership on your silverware, whatever the object is, and you give it over to the shliach, and now he is controlling it, and he's moving back to the mishalech to return and to make sure that the mishalech retrieves the object, but not so in a case of a chatzer maleches.
In these cases, you'd have to be aware of it. For instance, the issue we had with the get.
Yeah.
And he gave her a makatha, which we were going to consider to be like a chatzer. If
I remember correctly, Yosef, again, it's a sugya later on, but it's mostly about mitziyah chatzeru shal adam kodelo shalomi dat. The chiddush of chatzer is that you can be coded a chatzer even without das. Now, does that apply to mecher and mekach, or is it only applies to mitziyah, to hefker? I mean, that's something that we can research. The Encyclopedia Talmudim does a tremendous job on chatzer. I don't remember which volume it's in, but it goes according to the Aleph Beis. So you'll take a look over there.
Okay.
The Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, a behema can be theoretically a chatzer, can serve as a chatzer, but under the following condition, kfusa, which means that the animal is in total control. It doesn't have the ability to walk because it's been tied up, and that makes it into a chatzer she'eino ma'aleches. And in such a case, Rabbi Elazar would say that once he's zocha in the behema, then ipso facto he's zocha in the kelim, because then the behema as a kfusa certainly could serve as a chatzah. The suffix of Rabbi Elazar is only in the case of someone who's not interested in being machna the animal to the lokeach. He's only interested in using the animal as a conduit, as a method, an intermediary to make a meshicha on the kelim. Is that considered a valid meshicha on the kelim? There's no chatzah here because the mocher has no intention whatsoever to transfer ownership over the behemoth. He retains his ownership over the behemoth for himself. And therefore, the behemoth, the animal, could never, in any theoretical sense, serve as a chatzer. Now, the one thing that bothers my mind here in the sugya is, why don't we assume what I call schirus? Which means that even if I tell you to be kona the kelim and not the behema, but I'm offering you the behema beschirus, which means that you will use the animal here for purposes of kinyan, and it's your animal. What does it mean it's your animal? It's my animal. I'm not being machna the animal to you, but I'm being machna you schirus. I'm being machna you rights to use the animal as if it were a chatzer. And again, if it's kfusa, it's a chatzer sheinu maleches. Why is it that Rabbi Elazar insists in this suffix that perhaps the kinyan of Chatzer is out of the question, and therefore perhaps he cannot be coded through Mashicha because he never did a direct Mashicha on the Kalim. What happened to the possibility of being coded the Kalim through Chatzer, even if Machne is not at all interested in transmitting ownership over the Behemoth? He wants to retain the Behemoth for himself, but nevertheless, he is offering a Kinyan Skirus on the Behemoth. Mm-hmm. To use the behemoth in this particular case for the purpose of Mashicha and the Kalim. And that would mean that the Lokeach now has ownership over the Chatzer. Just like if I would rent to you my Chatzer for the next 30 days, any lost object that would fall into the Chatzer would be yours, even though I own the Chatzer, but you own it for Tashmishim. You own it for all benefits. You're a Socher. Here I would have said he's a Socher. But let me share with you a question of the Rashba. The Rashba says that according to the Bani Omer that chatzas midin shlichus, then why is it that a chatzah maleches is not valid? A shliach, after all, is a mahalach. So we suggested that the shliach is always walking on behalf of the mishaleach. From the moment that he gets possession of the object, he's bringing it back to the mishaleach. I'd like to try to fit this in to the language of the Rashba. The Rashba says the following: She'im chametz hisrab so midin shlichus im kein madua chotzem aleches lo kana. And he offers the following answer: She shliach holech ledaito shel mishaleach. Abo behema aleches ledas atzma. I think we can fit our answer into that language. He says, Aval, Tosfos begitin, Dafchav Aleph, Kosfu, Sherak bedover shehu zechus, Omrim shechotzer misraba mi din shlichus. Aval sharadvarim is chotzer kona mishum yad. So honestly, if you can help me here, I don't understand the Ritva. In this particular case, certainly it's a zchus for the lokeach to acquire ownership over the kalim. And therefore, why isn't he willing to apply the principle of shlichus here? Again, shliach holech fine. He says that Shliach is rabsam idin shlichus, rak bedover shehu zechus. It's like zochin liyadim shol b'funim. But why should that exclude our case? Chatzer is only midin shliach if it's a zechus. Ah, you know what I think he's saying? That chotzer could operate midin shliach in hefker, because that's a pure 100% unadulterated zchus. But in mekach u'memkar, where I'm paying for the object, so you're selling me an object, but you're getting tmura. How do you say it in English? Tmura?
Something in return.
Yeah, but there's a better word for it. Okay, whatever. So you're getting payment in return, so you're fully compensated. That's not called the zchus.
Compensation.
Yeah, because tomorrow might go up in price, but it might go down in price. Or, for example, tomorrow the market is flooded with that object and nobody's going to want to buy it from you. So it's very good to buy and sell, but it's not guaranteed to be a zchus. And in such a case, the Ritva says there's no shlichus, there's no chatz mishum shlichus. So again, the difference between the first answer that we gave and the second is, can a shliach operate as a chotzer mishtameris? And the first answer is yes, because the shliach here is walking in order to retrieve the object for the mishaleach. And the second answer is that no, that a shliach is a chotzer hamaleches, and the chatz midin shlichus can only operate in a case where there is a zchus. like, for example, Hefker. But in the case of Ekach u'Memkar, then we would not apply the principle of Chotzim Mishum Shliach, but rather Chotzim Mishum Yad, and Yad is only a Yad She'enam Alechas. Now, you see this Tosis Divya Maskel B'Shoch? Does it frighten you? It definitely frightens me. Tosis says that even if he's Kona the Behema, you should still vacillate and wonder whether or not he can be Kona the Kalim, because you're not going to say that Chotzer operates here in this case. Right? Because even now, his chus in the kalim is midin chotzer. Shai mocher mashalo abehema kedei liknos ba vechotzer sheula mo'ila lekinyan chotzer. Now, I'd like to say that Tosis is bothered by our question, but I'm not sure if that's honestly the case. Again, even if he was makne the behema, I still have doubts whether or not he would be Kona the Kalim.
How's that possible? The Kalim are on the Behemoth.
How's it possible that what? That he would not be Kona Bidin Chatz? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, who do they belong to now? He's walking away with them, with the animal.
Let me read it again. Gam ata yesh lo lizkos b'kelim arei amokher mashalos b'heimim. Oh, I see what he's saying. He's asking the following question. That if chotzer is operative, then it should be operative even in the case where he doesn't transfer ownership on the behemoth. For the very fact that the sugya of Rabbi Lozar vacillates back and forth as to whether or not he could be kona the kalim, it must be by definition that he's not operating within chotzer, because if he would be operating within chotzer, then the same suffix of Rabbi Lozar should apply in a case where he's machna him, the behemoth, namely that he is machna the kalim he did chotzer. So just like we said that if he's machna the behemoth with the kalim, there's no suffix that he can be kona the kalim because of chotzer. So that same logic should apply even in the case where he's not marked in the chotzer. And the reason for that is because chatzero she'ula bo'ila lekinyan chotzer. So what then is the reason why Rabbi Lozer vacillates and doubts whether or not this kinyan meshicha through the behema could be chal on a kalim? Don't tell me it's because of chotzer. Because if chotzer is operative, then it would be operative even in the case of Rabbi Lozer, meaning when he doesn't transfer ownership over the behemoth. So what is the difference between case A, where he was machna only the kalim, and case B, where he's machna the behemoth? It cannot be the difference is because of chotzer, because if that be the case, then even if he's not machdim the behemoth, the chotzer, the behemoth would operate effectively as a chotzer. So Tosis offers the following answer, which you'll see about halfway through the Tosis. He says, Kishal mocher omer lo mishoch, ein kavanoso lahashil lo es gufa behemoth kedei liknos al yodo mitam chotzer. He's rejecting what I thought was the davar pashut, that if you need to acquire ownership over the behemoth in order to effectuate the kinyan on the kalim, that's fine. No. The mocher sent him mishoch. What he means by mishoch is that the modus operandi, the operative method of kinyan here is going to be meshicha. He's not indicating his openness to a kinyan chatzer. He's excluding a kinyan chatzer. So basically what the mocher is saying to the lokeach, according to the Balei HaTosfos, when they say to him, knei kelim shalel, b'shof be'mezu knei kelim el, that you should use the behema to implement your kinyan, meshicha, on the kelim. But the very moment that he says the word meshoch, he's excluding the possibility of being zoche the kelim through chatzer, even in the case of a behema kfusa. Because again, if you were assuming that he wanted the lokeach to be kone from, to be kone the kelim din chatzer, then all he would have to do would be just simply to allow him to use the behema as a chatzah, which means schirus. For the fact that that wasn't an option, but rather we're talking about a case of meshicha, now perhaps we can understand the difference between when he's machta the behema together with the kelim, as opposed to our case where he's machta him kelim bilvad. In the case where he's machdin both behema and kelim, so it's not the mocher's business, it's none of his darn business, pardon the phrase, to determine what the lokech is going to do with this behema. Lokech automatically owns the behema, and he can use it for a chatzer. And if it's a kvusa, there's no hesitation. But if the mocher says to the lokech, I don't want to give you the behema, I want you to do meshicha on the kelim through the behema, that's where Rabbi Elazar vacillates back and forth. Is there a valid kinyan meshicha on the kelim when he really is only being moshech the behema? That's a summary of the first half of this Tosfos. Now Tosfos comes up with a second explanation, that Rabbi Elazar actually holds that a chotzer maleches is not valid. And if the mocher would transmit ownership, he'd be machted not only the kelim, but also the behemah itself, Rabbi Elazar would still have a suffolk as to whether or not this behemah could serve as a kinyan chatzah. And the reason for that is because it's a chatzar maleches. You see, he's not operating with kafus. He's talking about an untied freelance animal. So he says, "Af im hayam mistapek al ofen shekones a behema," meaning even in a case where he bequeaths, I never know how to say makna, transmits, or bequeaths ownership on both the behema and the kelim, we still have to vacillate. Are we talking about a kfusa? And if it's a chatzah shenim aleches, if it's not kafus, then it's a chatzah maleches. We would never know the din in the case of a behema she'ena kfusa. Can he be kodem he did meshicha? So you follow what he's saying? He's saying that the fact that this animal is a chatzar maleches, that undermines the status or the ability for the animal to play the role of a chatzar, because a chatzar maleches ain't a kodem. So if in the case where what? Where is Machnim also the behema? If let's say we came to the conclusion that he would be called the Kalim, But we don't know if that's a case of kfusa. Lo ayinu yodim ma din v'mehema sheina kfusa ha'im kodami din ha'mashicha. How is this teretz different from the first teretz? First teretz, he instructed the lokeach to make a kinyan mashicha, correct? That was the first teretz of Tosfos. So he excludes a kinyan chatzer. But if he was makna him the behema, then once he's the proud owner of the behema, he can do with the behema what he wants without any restrictions, without any stipulations for the mocher, and therefore the behema could serve as a kinyan chatzer. So that I understood the first answer of Tosfos. Now what's unique about the second answer of Tosfos? He says, Rabbi Eliezer holds that a chotzer maleches is eina kona, which means that even if he would be makne him, the behemah itself, he, the lokech, would not be able to acquire ownership on the kelim even chotzer because it's a chotzer maleches. Ela af, im hoye mistapek al ofet shekones a behemah, we would still not know what's the din in the case where he's makne him only the kalim. Why? Because we could suggest the following possibility, that the reason why in the case where he's makne him the behema, he could be kona, is because it's a case of a kfusa, and it's a chotzer sheinim aleches. So therefore, we would not know what's the din in the case of Behema She'ena Kfusa. Can it be Kodami Din Mashicha? So he's raising a possibility, which I think is a new concept that we've never encountered before, that the requirement of an Ena Kfusa, I'm sorry, the requirement of a Kfusa is necessary even for Mashicha. And if the behemah is an Eina Kfusa, perhaps he cannot be Kona, be Din Mashicha. One second. If it's a Kfusa... See, I always thought that if it's a Kfusa, then the behemah could be, it could serve as a Chatzer. But somehow he's learning now in the second Teretz that if the animal is a Kfusa, then you can transmit ownership through Mashicha. Has nothing to do with Chatzer. But what does he mean by that?
Did you say combination of Mashicha on a Kfusa?
Say it again, we're talking a combination of?
A combination of Mashicha and a Kfusa?
Yeah.
That's impossible. You can't be Moshech something that can't move.
He says, "Ma din v'behema she'ena kfusa ha'im kone mi din ha'mashicha."
Oh, okay, ena kfusa.
Oh, I see. Well, you don't mind din v'behema she'ena kfusa. Again, a chotzer maleches ena kone. And if the suffolk was about a case where he's kone the behema, and let's say he would come to the conclusion that he can be kone kalim, he would still be left with a suffolk that maybe we're talking about a kfusa, and he's kona midin chatzer sheinim aleches. So what would be the din of a behema she'ena kfusa? Would he be kona midin mashicha? In other words, he's saying that if the original suffix was on a behema case, you would not be able to derive any conclusions about a case where he wants him to be kona with mashicha, because if it was a case of a behema, it could be possible that he's being kona midin chatzer. And why is that? Because we're talking about a kfusa, which makes it into a chatzer she'ena maleches. But if you ask me, in the case of Mashicha, Ulai, I would have a suffix because perhaps Bikfusa Kona Bitam Chatzashena Maleches. But what's the din of a Behemashena Kfusa?
How do you make a kinyan on Eina Kfusa?
On an Eina Kfusa is our case that he's Moshe. What?
How do you make a kinyan on Kfusa?
Kfusa means the very fact that the Kalim are sitting on the Kfusa, that's Chatzah. Because it's a Chatzah Shein Maleches.
Right, but it's not his Behemah. He has to somehow do something to cause the Behemah to be in his.
Well, now he's saying that was his whole Yisod in the Kasha, that if I ask you to make a kinyan on the Kalim through the Behemah, I'm giving you She'ela rights on the Behemah. So even though I don't have any intention of transferring ownership to you on the behemah, and I retain the behemah for myself, nevertheless the behemah could serve as a kinyan chotza on behalf of the kona, midin she'ela.
Uh-huh.
But now he's saying in the second teretz that Rebbe Lazar was vacillating. Just one second. I lost the place for a second. Oh, here it is. I just want to give it a little bit of an underline so that my eye will catch it. He says that if a chotzer maleches is not kona, then if the suffix was in a case where he's makna the behemah, so would he be kona in the case, if it's a behemah kfusa, then it'd be kona midin chotzer. But shuv hayamakom l'stapek ulai b'kfusa. A kona mitam chotzer she'enem aleches. So we would not be able to derive the din of a behemah she'enem kfusa. Why is that? I thought because we don't know about the din of Mashiach, but that was the first answer in Tosfos. How is this second answer in Tosfos different than the first answer? If you hold that Chotzer Maleches is not Kona, so then you might as well have the same suffix even in a case where he bequeaths the behemoth itself. The afim hoy mistapik al ofen shekones a behema, but that might be in a case of a kfusa, and he's kona mitam chotzer. Chotzer sheinim aleches. Is v'lo ayinu yodim ma din v'behema she'ena kfusa, ha'im kona midin mashicha. To me, it sounds very close to the first answer. I think the only difference is that in the first answer he insists that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Chotzem Aleches, one second, we did Chotzem, I'm not sure. I don't understand the difference between the two answers. Okay, let's see Ravosai if we can get to the Mishnah. Omrulo, Omle, Rav Papa, Rav Huda, Breda, Rav Yishula, Rava. Elame Ato, if you're telling me that Chotzer Maleches is not valid, either because it's not similar to Yad, or maybe it's not similar to Shlichus, because the Shlich is always operating in a controlled manner, disciplined manner, on behalf of the Mishaleach, is what's the din in a person who's on a ship? Can it be kona when the ship is moving and an object of hefker falls into his boat? Is there any difference between a behema and a svina? In both cases, it's on the move.
Yeah, but it has no volition. You're making a move.
So according to Tosfos Shita, we have a clear distinction because the behemah is making its own decision, me'atzma. But let's say we don't hold like Tosfos, and let's say we go with the other Shitos, that you have no control over the object because it's in motion, and therefore you cannot make a kinyan chatzer if the chatzer is a chatzer maleches. Amalei, so Rava answered, Sfina is not a chatzer maleches. Rather, Menachnayach Umayahu de Kamamtu. So for this, you have to learn in the first parak in Shabbos that if, let's say, I pick up something off a sfina and I carry it on Shabbos, so my chayv mishumotzah, because the din is that you can only be chayv on Shabbos if you make an akira mimakom hanocha. So Gemara says the sfina is considered a makom hanocha. I mean, you have to know physics for this. I mean, relativity theory. Is the sfina moving, or the sfina itself is being moved? In other words, the location of the Sfina has changed. Mm-hmm. But is that because the Sfina is a maleches? Or is it as a result of the wind and the ocean and maybe the motor or whatever it is, that's what relocated the Sfina. But the Sfina itself is a chatzer shein a maleches. And that's what Rava... Just one second... That's what Rava responds, that you can be Kona Hefker that falls into your Sfina, and the Sfina serves as a Chatzer, even though that Chatzer is in the process of changing its position, of moving from one place to the other. Because it's not the Sfina that's moving from one place to the other. Or I should say it differently. It's not the Sfina that is the cause of relocation. The Sfina itself is perfectly passive. It's an inanimate object. Other factors, let's say the water, is causing the Sfina to move. Mm-hmm. And therefore the Sfina itself remains a chatzer shein maleches. I don't understand this, Gemara, because chatzah means I have control over it. If it's moving from place to place, I couldn't care less if it's motorized or it moves on its own. Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi, elamei ato, hoysa ma'aleches b'shus harabim. A woman is walking through b'shus harabim, and she has not a barrel, what would you call it, that she's on her head, you know, like the Bedouin women, what's that called, a piece of pottery, whatever you want to call it. And the man throws a get, not into her chatzer, but into this this barrel or this pot, what do you want to call it, this pottery that's on her head. So shall we apply the same principle of Rava, that the get is considered to be in a makom nayach, but ve'iu ve'i dekamazgi mitusa. And the fact that this piece of pottery, this basket on her head, is moving because she is walking under the basket, that makes the basket into a chatzer. Into a chatzer she'ena maleches. In other words, Rav Ashi's final conclusion here is that you can be kona the get in a case of l'toch kalsa. And the reason for that is because kalsa menach nayach ve'ihi dekamaski mituse. So she's carrying, moving with the sal on her head. The sal in and of itself is low 90, and therefore the sal can function as a kli, as a chotzer for a kinyan. You'll ask me, but the sal is moving from place to place, and the answer is it's no different than the case of the sfina, where Rama determined that you can be kone on the sfina, because the sfina per se is non-active. And it's the mayim that's mamtule. The mayim is molech es hasfino. And here too, in the case of Cheka Kolsa, where the get was put into her basket on top of her head,
yeah,
that basket could serve as a chatzut. It's Eidem Aleches. It's an inanimate object. And just that she's carrying the kolsa, this sal, from one place to the other. But the sal per se is not capable of movement. I think it's called locution. Am I pronouncing it right? Okay.